Well, good morning once again, and happy Mother's Day another time. We are so glad that you're here with us on this special day. You know, Mother's Day is a day when we celebrate, and some of us remember our moms with thanks, and some of us grieve a loss, and some of us look ahead with hope. Some of us don't know what to make of this day exactly. And yet, it's a good day to pause and take stock, to give thanks to God for the gifts in our lives, especially for the moms. In our planning of this worship service today, we had a note in our document. It said, quote, keep the moms happy. So it's an important note. So I hope you enjoyed that baptism. That was for you. We're in a sermon series together where we've been talking about salvation, and we've been exploring the ways that God's salvation works. What does it mean that we would be saved or rescued or helped by God? And so the pattern that we've been following is this. Salvation happens once and for all, again and again, higher and deeper. You all know it because I've been saying it for 3 weeks now. Once and for all, you're saved by the grace of God as a gift. You can't earn it and you can't lose it. Again and again, there are times in our lives where we do mess up, where we drift away, when we find ourselves far from God and we need to be called back, to be restored, to be made right again with God. And then, as we grow in our relationship with God, as we get to know God's salvation for ourselves, we are called to go higher and deeper. St. Paul in the New Testament writes, I pray that you will have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length, the height and depth of the love of Christ. The love of Christ is higher and deeper than we know. And over a lifetime, we are called to grow in an understanding of what that means and what God in Christ has done for us. So the story we're going to look at today from the Gospel of Luke is about a time when Jesus ran away from his parents as a 12-year-old. And so that's a great story for anyone who's a mom or dad who ever had their kid run away from them at a trip to Target or from a restaurant, or am I just talking about myself? No. Maybe you've had that experience. Luke chapter 2, listen. Every year, Jesus' parents went up to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking that he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When the parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he said. "Didn't you know I would be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have you heard this story before? It's kind of an old favorite. Jesus and his family go up to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover together, as was their custom. This is a family tradition, so every year the whole extended family, the cousins and aunts and uncles and friends, they all caravan together up to Jerusalem. And so it's this religious festival they celebrate, but it's also a family reunion. It's a fun time. The kids are playing. The adults are catching up with each other. But then after the festival is over, they leave as a caravan together. They leave as a crowd. And Jesus isn't with them. Mary thought that Jesus was with Joseph. Joseph thought it was with Mary. The cousins, everyone thought the cousins had him, but they didn't. And so they had gone a day's journey before they realized he was gone. Can you imagine that? A day's journey away. So they turn around and they walk back. It was walking. And then they search the city of Jerusalem, it says, for 3 days. How scared would they be at this point about what has happened to their kid? Finally, it dawns on them to go to the temple. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was looking for Jesus, I might go to the temple. If you want to get to know Jesus, go to church, right? That's the place where he tends to be. So Jesus is there in the temple, listening and asking questions to the teachers of the law. These are the learned scholars, the leaders of his faith tradition. And it says that everyone was amazed by Jesus' understanding and his answers. So when his mom comes in and says, "Son, what are you doing here?" He says, "Didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house? This is the place I want to be." The temple is the place where Jesus grew up in his faith. We just saw his baptism. Just imagine the church is a place where these five young people are going to grow up in their faith. It's a beautiful image. It's a model that Jesus gives to us. His parents set the stage for his growth as well. So then the end of the story comes. This is Luke chapter 2, verse 52, one of my favorite memory verses. It's a summary statement. It says, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature, in favor with God and with all people." Wisdom and stature, favor with God and with all people. And this is a summary statement that is similar, it turns out, to others in the Bible. The Bible sometimes summarizes things in this way. The boy Samuel in 1 Samuel is described this way. "Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people." And then this is what it says about John the Baptist in chapter 1 of Luke's gospel. "The child grew and became strong in the spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel." And then about Jesus himself, just earlier in this same chapter, there's a summary statement. Chapter 2 of Luke, it says, "The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him." So the purpose of statements like this about Samuel, John the Baptist, and about Jesus is to say that there's a lot going on in these people's lives. Life is complicated and complex, so it's summarized, it's summed up in these few categories. I was at Pete's this week, as I am every week, catching up with an old friend, somebody I hadn't seen in a while, and he said, "I want to know everything. What's going on? Catch me up." But instead of saying sort of, "Tell me everything at once," he started going through categories. And you know, he started going through topics. "Tell me about the family. How's Lisa? How are the kids? What's going on? Tell me about the church. What's happening that's exciting? What's new? How's it going? Tell me about your studies and your doctorate program. What are you learning? What's important? Tell me about Ultimate Frisbee. Any new injuries?" And at the end of this statement, at the end of this conversation, he could have probably made kind of a summary statement, right? Dave was growing with his family, with his church, in his studies, and in Ultimate Frisbee. And the function of a summary statement in the Bible for Jesus is to take something very complex, where there's too much to say, you can't say everything, and to kind of break it down into this small, almost portable statement. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, favor with God and other people. To say that God's salvation happens higher and deeper, or draws us higher and deeper, that it goes way down deep and it reaches way up high, is to suggest that there is so much to say, so much to learn, so much to it, that it's almost incomprehensible. It's too much to take in, isn't it? So that's why the scripture sometimes summarizes things this way. Here are four areas where you can grow higher and deeper with God. I heard a story recently about Gerber baby food. And you probably know Gerber, right? They have that iconic brand with like the baby, there it is, baby on the bottle of baby food. And there's a story about the time when they decided to reach out into a new market in Liberia, which is a country in West Africa. And, you know, there's the situation where there had been a war for 15 years in Liberia. Many people had fled. They were living in the United States or in Europe. And after the war, many of them had come back. And so while they were overseas, they had gotten used to this idea of baby food. It was healthy, nutritious, it was inexpensive, so it was good for their babies. So Gerber saw an opportunity to extend their brand into this market. And so they shipped over a bunch of containers of their baby food to Liberia. And they had done this market research. What kind of food do Liberians like to eat? So they got those flavors. And what's the price point? You know, what can people afford? So they got that. And they used the same packaging with that same baby on the label that you saw. So they launched the initiative, and they offered free samples to parents. They had these promotions. They tried to get people to get some brand engagement. You know what that's about. But very few people picked up any samples. Very few people bought any of their baby food. And they weren't sure what was going on, but basically it flopped. until they realize that African grocery distributors show the contents of the food on the jar. So peanut butter has a peanut on the jar, and applesauce has an apple. And so baby food with a picture of a baby on it, it didn't go over very well. Sometimes situations more complicated or complex than we realize. It's true in business, in a market. It's true in life. Life's complicated. I was in Portland, Oregon, some years ago, performing a wedding for some friends. And the bride-to-be, it was her brother who had died 2 years earlier. So she was there on her wedding day with her parents. And it was a celebration, of course, but it was also bittersweet. And so she walked out on the dance floor for the father-daughter dance, and her mom told me, "I'm never going to have a chance to have that dance with my son." So she walked out on the dance floor too. And the three of them met in the middle in this kind of hug dance and just held on to each other and swayed to the music. Three of them, they needed that time. I'll never forget the scene. It's not usual, it's not traditional, it's not typical, but when you go higher and deeper, when you get further into relationships, into life, things happen along the way that causes us to realize things aren't the way we planned them. They aren't just the way everyone else did them. It's more complex and complicated than that. Sometimes all you can do is listen to the music, hold on to each other, and sway. Maybe you're here today, and that's the message you need to hear. Hold on to each other. Listen to the music and sway. But what I also want to suggest to you is that we don't stay there. We don't just stay there on that dance floor in that new configuration of family life, but we also seek to grow. We also seek to learn, to deepen higher and deeper. Jesus, in our story, he runs away from his parents and goes to the place where he felt most comfortable, most at home, to the temple. It was clear that this was going to be part of his life story. So when his parents go and find him there, it says that he goes with them and he grows. He grows up. He develops in these four ways. And I want to offer you this pattern from Jesus' life as you think about the complexities of life, which are too much to take in, and just to bring them down something portable, something you can take home. The way that Jesus grew in wisdom, that's intellectual life, that's the life of the mind. And in stature, that's physical life. And then in favor with God, that's our spiritual life. And then favor with others. If I were making hand signals to a song, it would be like, wisdom, stature, God, others. It wouldn't work. But you can take this pattern with you, and I suggest that you do. This four-part pattern, wisdom, stature, favor with God, favor with others. It's a way that you can talk around the brunch table today with your mom. You can take it home to a dinner table conversation. You can reflect on it for yourself. You can talk with a friend and check in on these four categories, these four parts of life. Life's so big, you can't say, tell me everything. Tell me about intellectual life. Where are you growing and learning? What are you reading? What's your intake? What's your input? Your stature, your physical life, what's your exercise routine? What are you doing with your diet? How are you taking care of yourself? How's your medical condition? Your favor with God, your spiritual life, what's that like? What are the practices you have? And then your life with others, your social life, friendships that matter, relationships. Jesus grew in all of these ways. And Jesus invites us also to do the same. If you want to grow higher and deeper with God, that's what it looks like. So what will that mean for you? Intellectual life, wisdom. Where is that area for you? What's the challenge that you have in your life to grow intellectually? Stature. If you're like me and you get injured playing Ultimate Frisbee, you're in trouble. But hopefully you have good routines for keeping your body physically strong. It's true that sometimes Christians can get caught up in our own spiritual lives and we think it's very spiritualized, but Jesus was a human being. He had a body. He walked around. He ate food. So our physical lives matter to God too. Life with God is our spiritual life together. And here's the truth. No church is perfect. And ours is not perfect. And yet God calls us together as imperfect people in this place to live out our spiritual lives in community. How are you growing in your spiritual life with God, on your own and together with the body? And fourth, life with others, those friendships that matter. Who are the people you rely on? Some people are extroverts, like me, and they like to have a lot of friends. Some people are introverts, and they just have two or three close friends, somebody they can count on. We all need somebody with us. Jesus surrounded himself with friends, and he also reached out to crowds. He went away by himself. Each of those is a chance for us to think about the social aspect of our lives. You need it if you want to grow higher and deeper with God. The kids that we baptized here this morning are a picture for us to hold on to this morning. The way that they are going to grow higher and deeper in their life with God, and it all starts today. It starts from this place of baptism that they will go out into their Sunday school classes and learn and continue to develop. That they will be embraced by all of you, the ones who made promises to them, the ones who made promises to them that you would help them grow in their lives. That's who's going to lift them up as well. So we're thinking about those five Cerusi kids and the way that they're going to grow higher and deeper because we're growing higher and deeper. This is not an individualistic journey where you're cut off from everyone else. The things that you do matter. The life that we share matters for ourselves and our families and others. So I want to close it right there today. It's a brief message that it's hopefully easy to remember and take with you. Talking about salvation that's once and for all, again and again, higher and deeper. As you seek to grow higher and deeper, let's do the hand signal together. What is it? Wisdom. Stature. Favor with God and with all people. I want to see you doing that at your lunch table today. Maybe so for you. Amen.